your Bibles, go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read about six verses there as we begin this morning. I'm going to be talking this morning about belief, again, on the Trinity. I believe in the Trinity. That's always a, some say, well, it's a hard subject to talk about. It's a hard topic to really discuss. It's something hard to explain, and I agree in one respect it is, but in another, it's not when you really begin to look at it and study it and pray about it. You know, the Bible tells us in all things pray, amen? And that's something we need to do is pray over the Word, that the Word would come alive in us and speak to us. So reading this morning, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, stand with me if you would again for the reading of the Word as we honor Him this morning. It says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Look at verse 4. He said, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You know, Paul was Southern, don't you know? In you all. Y'all read that, right? Okay. Just making sure you pick up on that. All right? Paul was Southern, so praise God for that. All right, man? He was a country boy. In you all. So. Anyway, I'm being funny. But anyway, I want us to know one God, one Spirit, one baptism. We've been called into one. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here again together and to worship you in spirit and in truth. To worship, Lord God, as one body. To worship our true God. Lord, I just pray for the anointing of the Spirit to guide. Lord, guide me, my thoughts, and anoint my thoughts and my words. That, Lord God, we would bring you glory and honor. That I would speak what you want spoken today. Lead, O God, all of us to hear and receive your word. And honor you, Lord God, and thank you. Let your will be done, we pray, in this time together. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. 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 Praise God. You may be seated. So we've been called one body. And when we think about this, and again, I kind of something I shared with last week as we talk about one or talk about the Trinity, a lot of people want to, you know, wrap their brain around how can we say one God but yet talk about Trinity? And I want to kind of remind you of something we said last week about the issue, the three in one is not monotheistic, is one God. We believe in one God existing eternally in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons. And I shared last week that means three essence, really breaks down. And we cannot think as a person, three persons in one, like three physical bodies like you and I. The Bible tells us God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so, but to say we have three gods is a tritheistic mentality, and that's not what we believe. We do not believe in tritheism. We believe in monotheism. And I know that's a kind of a, some people say, well, that's kind of a hard technical term, but just remember, one God existing in three persons. But I want to kind of get into something also and think about from this perspective this morning. Because when we look at the Trinity, I want you to think about the word image, because image can be a very powerful concept to really reflect on and think about. We were created, the Bible says in Genesis, we were created in the image and likeness of God. So when we look at one another, we see an image reflecting that of God. Many of us carry the likeness of our family members. Many of us are told that we look like so-and-so. We look like our father. We look like our mother. Or we look like, you know, aunt so-and-so or uncle so-and-so. Or, you know, we bear a, hopefully we bear some physical likeness to our family member, right? You may not want to admit that, but many of must carry, though, also, you know, we have an image. Some people have an image they want to maintain. You know, of course, we know the teenagers. They got an image they want to maintain. Like, they're cool. You know. We look at the, but let's be real. When we were all teenagers, we had an image we wanted to maintain, too. I mean, come on. Some of you that grew up in the 50s, you know, I'm sure, you know, some of you may, you know, had the white t-shirt, the blue jeans, and, you know, the you know, James Dean hairdo, and then, you know, and then, of course, you know, those of us that were in the 80s, you know, some had mullets. I didn't. I didn't like the mullets. My mom wouldn't let me have one, okay? That's the truth. You know, but we had the image. The La Tigra, you know, of course, I'm going to show my age, of course, but that's all right. But, you know, we had those images, the 80s look. And you girls from the 80s had the big hair. The ozone layer is weak because of the 80s and all the hairspray you all used back then. We have an image. Even today, you know, and today, it's amazing. Sometimes the older we get, the less we care about how we look. Image can include fashion sense. People want to wear the latest fashion. It can evolve how people look at us and view us. But there's also the image of how we see ourselves versus how others really see us. So the concept of image, and I want to kind of emphasize that word, image, is a multifaceted concept to consider. But now, when you think about this in regards to the image of God, think about that for a second. Because the image of God cannot be reduced to a mere one-dimensional scope. The image of God is more than just what most people can imagine or think. Because when you think about the image of God, we can read the scriptures and we get a lot of different images that are brought out. He is the great physician. He is my high tower. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. We get several images on who God is. And so you cannot reduce the image of God to mere one thing. Some images of God come from us. We think of God, think about this. Some paint a picture of God being a loving, caring, and all-compassionate Savior. While the other side, some people have an image of God as someone that's very judgmental, someone that's harsh, someone that may be a act like a dictator, that if you don't do what God says, He's going to zap you and you're gone. And that image on how we view God kind of spills over into us, how people view us. Because if we say we are a Christ follower, a Christian, then people, depending on how we act toward others, if we're kind, if we're loving, if we're compassionate, then they will see God as kind and loving and compassionate. But if we are very hard-nosed, if we are one that is very harsh and very judgmental, then they have that image of God as well. So their image of God comes from us. And you wonder why sometimes people don't want to come to church. We got to stop and ask ourselves, what image of God are we portraying to the world? Think about that for a second. We must be cognizant. We must be attentive to what sort of image of God we are conveying to others. We have to remember that we are reflecting Christ. The Bible tells us, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That was a reflection. Paul was a reflection of Christ. And that's what we need to have too, is follow me as I follow Christ. I want to reflect Him, not be Him. There's another image some portray. Some people are so holy and so mighty, they feel like, and some of these preachers, come on now, let's get real. I know this is going to be hard. Some of these preachers and some of these people of God, so-called, they act like they're God. I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's a time or two I wish I had that job. I'd take care of a lot of things real quick. But that's not the way God operates. Right. be doing the same thing. There'd be about a million people die tomorrow if you were God, right? Most of Washington, D.C., gone. Every governor, a lot of governors, gone. There'd be so many governmental people gone. Be nice. That's why he's God, we're not. But keep in mind this image that we are portraying and this image that God wants us to reflect. Because if we understand, and I want to come back to this and kind of throw this out there to remind us what we're talking about, because we're talking about the Trinity. And the image that we see between us and God gives us idea and gives us a concept of how the Trinity acts. They're a reflection of one another. Now we got to let me go back to this, because when we think about all this, that we are God, or that he's God, we're not. I lost my note. There it goes. Now think about this. Go to the next slide. In Scripture, we see this passage. Jesus was asking Peter, "Do you love me?" And every time he asked him this three times, and every time he asked it, Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And then Jesus replied, "All three times, feed my sheep." This image that he was giving Peter, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you. Then I want you to feed my sheep." And when you think about it, isn't that what Christ was doing when he was on earth? Feeding the sheep. And he wanted Peter to get this concept of continuing to do what he did. Now let's go a little deeper in this, because this image of leading others sometimes is misconstrued as with the sole responsibility. This is what we are to do alone. I'm to lead people to Jesus. I'm to save people. We can't save nobody. The image of God calls us into ministry that involves us first to understand our willingness to follow Jesus. Are you willing to follow him? If I'm willing to follow him, then I'm willing to do what he asked me to do. Are you hearing me? If I'm willing to follow him, then I'm willing to do what he asked me to do. If you say you love him, you're going to do what he asked you to do. And what he's asking all of us to do is feed his sheep. To feed one another. We all sometimes, we collapse sometimes that concept of feeding as, well, that's the pastor's job. Peter some say Peter was the first, leader of the church, after Christ. And that, that's what Peter was the preacher. Peter was the leader. Peter, of course, the Catholic Church calls Peter was the first pope. And that Peter was, that's what we're all to, that's only reserved for the priest and the pastors of the church is to feed people. We're just here. We're just sheep. But can I also challenge you to understand the fact that we're not just called as sheep, but we're called heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that as children of God, we're ministers of God, that we're all called to minister to the world. He called the church to go out into the world. That's what the Great Commission is all about. And so if we love him, and if we're to reflect him, but also we're to love him, and we're to follow him. But he didn't call us to save people. He called us simply to lead them to the cross and introduce them to Jesus. That's all we're called to do. Just as the Holy Spirit did not call us to baptize individuals in the Spirit, but to instruct them about the divine experience. I get real bothered, and I've been in some services, and I've heard this before where people will say, if you want the Holy Spirit, you come over here and we'll teach you how to speak in tongues. Been there. Been in those services. Did I go back? No. Honey, nobody can teach you but the Holy Spirit. We can learn about the Holy Spirit. We could learn about the baptism of the Spirit. We could learn about all the ins and outs of it and still not scratch the full surface of it. Because he's called not only the comforter, the paraclete, the one that comes alongside of us, but he's also the comforter, the teacher, which he instructs us. He, as we read this word, he enlightens us to it and gives us insight into the mind and heart of God. So I'm not here to tell you how to speak in tongues. I'm not here to put my hand upon you and say, okay, you're saved. Although some religions do that. Think about it. Nobody can save you but God. What can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood. You got it. I like this part. A writer of some books I have of his and read of his, you may not know him. It's something in academic world, but a great author. He wrote some great books. But Stephen Siemens, he this quote I love what he says. He says, when you rely on God, you get what God can do. Think about that for a minute. When you rely on God, you get what God can do. We're simply called to be faithful with our part. Only the part God has called us to. No more, no less. Sometimes we get in trouble and we try to do more than what God has actually called us to. We get excited and we get caught up in the moment. And people, listen, we all get there. We've all been there where we get anxious and we get excited and we want to go more, go, you know, high, bigger and better what God has called us to. And then we kind of get discouraged when it don't go like we think it's going to go. But then we realize God didn't call us to do that. He called us to do this. Amen. God called us to be faithful with what he's put in our hands. And if he didn't put it in our hands, we don't need to mess with it.
Hello.
We need to be called. We need to be faithful with the talents and the skills and the abilities that God has given us. Listen. You know, God didn't call me to play the piano like Sister Mary and the others, you know, play. I mean, I would love to get over there and just whip it out. You know, I could play, I could pick, you know, I play a little. I don't play. I plunk. I don't play. I plunk. I can hit a few things that I know. That's it. Don't ask me to play because that's it. I just can do a few. But God didn't call me to that. Some people ask me, do you play? And, you know, my dad plays guitar. My sister plays piano. And I said, God called me to play the radio. You know, that's what he called me to play. So, but we can only do what God puts in our hands. The imagery of the roles that we have and that God has and that God calls us to fulfill, it's much like how we view the roles between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Each has a role to play. No more, no less. And each role is to fulfill the imagery of the Godhead. Each role of the Father, Son, and Spirit is going to reflect the others. The image of the Spirit is going to reflect the Father and the Son. The image of the Son is going to reflect the Father and the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for my Father and I are one. That he is not going to do anything outside of that core, outside of that Godhead. And this is where we come back to and understand that the image of the Trinity is only going, when we look at the Trinity and we say, okay, I'm going to figure out what the Holy Spirit is about. We're going to find the Spirit, but also the Father and the Son. Well, I'm going to find out what the Son is all about. Well, when you look at the Son, you're going to see the Son, but you're going to see the Spirit and the Father. Well, I'm going to look at what the Father is. Well, you're going to see the Father, but you're going to see the Son and the Spirit. Because all the time, they're going to reflect one another. Every time, they're going to complement one another. You're not going to see where one ends and one begins. This Trinitarian image, We were created in the image of God, which involves a need. Let's go to this point. It involves a need for community and interpersonal relationships. Look at this. This is the one you want to latch on to. This Trinitarian image, it flows against the individualistic mindset. The mindset of leading others to understand the necessity of the community. To say I am, you know, me, myself, and I, and that's the most important thing, is against the Word of God. We were created in the image of God, which involves the need for community. Look at that. It involves the need for community. I'm going to say it again. It involves the need for community. We need one another. We are dependent upon one another. To say I'm going to get to heaven on my own is not of God. Go on. Go to the next slide. Solidarity, the image of the Trinity is one of interdependence. It is not about who's in control, only that we are intimately unified. Unity is built from the experiences with one another. Think about this. Church, we got to be unified. Means we got to get on the same page. We may not see eye to eye on everything. We're just made different. But in our uniqueness, we have a common ground, which is Christ. We are all made in the image and likeness of God. Now, you could just look around the room and you could see, you know, none of us look the same. Praise God for that. I don't want to look like you all. You don't want to look like me. Nothing wrong with that. But when we look at one another, think about this. Wrap your brain around this one. When you look at everybody, you're seeing the image of God. I know some of you are just trying to wrap your brain around that one for a minute. How can God look so different, but looks the same? I don't mean to sound gross, but you peel the exterior off, the interior is pretty much the same. We all have the same kind of bones, the same organs. You take the outer core off, the inner core is the same. Think about that. That tells us about what a wonderful God and a intricate God we serve. When you think about that, you see, it's in, when we look at unity in one respect, but also understand we need one another, well, it helps us focus not only just on God, but God's people. Listen, do you love God? Then if I love God, I want to love God's people. And if I love God's people, then I'm going to love other people. If I love God and I have the mind of God, the eyes of God, the heart of God, I'm going to have a heart for the world. I'm going to have a heart for my community. I'm going to have a heart for the unsaved people around me. If I have the eyes of God, I'm going to see them in a whole new way. Not as someone that I want to zap off the earth, but somebody that needs Jesus. Somebody that needs some care. Somebody that needs some love. Somebody that needs some prayer. That's why the Bible tells us constantly to pray for them that despitefully use us. Because as we pray for them, we'll get a heart for them. We'll begin to see them differently. And isn't that what God is doing for all of us? Thank God He loves us like he loves us. Thank God he didn't throw us out when we first failed him. Thank God when we come falling short of his glory, he didn't just do away with us. He gave us another chance. His grace and his mercy has been displayed to us over and over again. Trinitarian experiences involves a community involvement and a necessity to rely upon one another. Look at this quote by Stevens. Solidary religion is unbiblical. So is solidary service for God. We must either find companions or make them. This is something we need to understand, and I want to say this. I want you to get a hold of this. Never do ministry alone. Sometimes we find ourselves doing it. When Jesus sent out the 70, how did he send them out? Two by two. If he would have sent 70 out individually, he could have covered 70 different parts. He cut that number to 35. 70 divided by 2, 35. So he cut the area. Someone could look at it, well, why didn't he just, he could have got 70 areas and said, you know, if each one of them would have reached one, they could have got 70 people to come, you know, join the church. But instead, he sent them out by twos and 35, you know, we just cut our numbers in half. Why would he do that? Well, let's go back to the scriptures. What it says, two are better than one. Amen. For if one falls, the other one is there to lift them up. That again reminds us of the importance of unity and that importance of community. That if we have unity, we will help one another. And if we understand community, we realize we're not in this thing alone. Nobody likes to be alone. And so by having community and understanding community, it begins to show us some things that we can learn a little. Let's look a little deeper. Because unity brings community. Community is built from unity. When you look at community, what's the last part of community? Unity. Community involvement comes from intentional times of fellowship, where the body of Christ desires to be together, as well as experiences moments together in fellowship of the Trinity, self-giving and self-sacrificing. It equals self-fulfillment and unspeakable joy. I don't know about you. I love church. I love coming to church. I love having church. I love the Spirit, you know, speaking to us and pouring out on us. I like having all that. All that's great. But you know something else I love? I love fellowship. Because right here in this setting, we don't really get to know, well, you get to know me, but I don't get to know you. Think about that. You know me, but you don't get to know one another. Think about that. How we really don't connect here in this setting. Because this setting is not this is not about us necessarily connecting to one another as it is us connecting to God. This is where we come into fellowship and worship God and give him glory and give him his due. This time is about him. We focus on him. We help meet the needs of one another. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. But this time really is about him. But when we have fellowship, that's something where we begin to connect one another. You begin to learn about one another, the ins and outs, love, their likes and dislikes when you have fellowship. That's why it's important we don't forsake the times of fellowship.
Hello.
Why? Do you realize fellowship is just as important as worship? Go share a meal together. I know we got things to do. I know we got lives to live, but there's times we got to stop and say, you know what? Let's go out to eat. Let's go do this. Let's meet together Tuesday night. Me and Travis and Sherry and Stephanie, we're going to have sushi Tuesday night. I'm going to try some sushi out, sushi place out. Some of you go, ooh, that's okay. More for us, right, Travis? That's why pastors can't lose no weight. You got to go out and eat all the time. You got a wife that cooks too good. But think about this. When was the last time? I'm not trying to harp. I'm going somewhere with this. This is building. If a church don't have unity, and if it don't have community, because unity is involved in the community. If we don't have community, we can't grow. Are you hearing me? Because when the Bible tells us to lift up the hands which hang down, we don't know if the hands are hanging down. Lift up the hands which hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. If we don't know, we can't help them if we don't know them. Are you hearing me? That's important. If I don't know what you're going through, how can I pray for you? How can I walk with you? How can I, And we can't know that right now through this. We can know through fellowship. You say, well, Pastor, I ain't going out with you to go get sushi. Okay, fine. I like Mexican. I like Chinese. Yes, I like chicken too. In case you wondered. But it's not just about me. It's about you all. Pastor don't have to be everywhere all the time for you. Listen to this. That's why the body. Listen, the community. What's a community? It's not just about. The community doesn't revolve around me. It better not revolve around me. It revolves around God. You're not made in my image, you're made in his. And so he's the core, he's the center. And everything evolves around him. And we are connected together in this. Let me move on. Time's getting away. Let's go on. Understanding Trinity. To attempt to fully understand the facets of the Trinity is to say that we are trying to figure out all the concepts of God, which is sometimes can be impossible. That's why we need to follow and learn and listen to the things that God has given us. We need to listen when he speaks to us. We need to share with others what he has given us. Listen, what God gives you on Sundays, you need to share with others Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's not just given to you for you. It's given to you to give out. We need to share with others what he is sharing with us and not try to figure out all the mysteries of God. Sometimes people will take something, in service and they'll just try to study it out. And I've had people try to analyze and say, well, Pastor, why'd you say it this way? You could have said it this way. Or, listen, I don't have all the answers, but what we hear from God on Sunday, I know we're to give out. So many of us, we just keep in. And then we're not satisfied with God. And the reason we're not satisfied with God is because we're damming up everything inside of us and not allowing it to flow through us. God wants it to flow. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers can't live. And I talked about this a couple weeks ago. God didn't call us to try to figure everything out, nor has he called us to solve everybody's problems. He has called us to love a hurting world, and he would call us also to understand that he's God, we're not, and we're called to lead them to Jesus, who can solve their problems. We get so balled up trying to figure out everybody and trying to solve everybody's problems, we can't even solve our own sometimes. Why having a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Amen. Now I'm going to throw something at you, and I'm going to wrap this up here. But I'm going to throw this I'm going to get a little technical, okay? Because, and understand something. Okay, this is a term you probably never heard before. If you have, it's called perichoresis. And here's the definition of it. It conveys the several ideas, but the exchange and interchange of giving to and receiving from one another. Being drawn to one another and contained in the other. Now this is deep stuff here, I understand it. The interpenetration of one another by the drawing life from and pouring life into one another as a fellowship of love. Now understand something. Let me go a little further. This here, the perichoresis, it's a technical term, it's a Greek term, but it's a key way of understanding the Trinity. And a lot of people don't talk about this because a lot of people have not studied this. Now, God desires an intimate relationship with us so that we can reveal his divine presence to us and to pour into us so that we can pour into others. But also, perichoresis is also referred to as, and this is kind of a layman's term, the divine dance. You say, well, what does that mean? Think about something, okay? Ever remember the old pictures, the old movies, Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, those, that's when movies were movies, right? Think about, now y'all have seen those movies, right? Some of those, okay. When you watch those two, I'm picking these two out. There's others, I know. But when you watch those two dance, I know technically the man leads, but when you watch them, you really don't see who's leading and who's not, do you? You see these two acting as one in this dance, this beautiful movement back and forth, going with each other. And I want you to kind of put that picture in your mind for just a moment. Yes, one is technically leading, but both are moving to the same direction, the same rhythm, and they're acting, the two are acting as one. You don't know really, unless you really knew, understand, we're supposedly, the one leads in the dance, but you really can't tell. It's so seamless and so graceful. You really don't see one, quote unquote, leading, but they're acting as one. When you get that understanding, and this is what this term really is referring to, is that the Spirit, the Father, and the Son, the Father, Son, and Spirit are moving together as in a dance, to where you don't see whether one's leading or one's not. You see this one, and then you see that one. You see this coming in and that one going out. And they're so seamless. And this is the whole thing. When you see some of the imagery of the Trinity, you see there's no lines. There's no beginning and no ending because they're all interconnected and all interdependent upon one another, to where you don't see where one is, what the role of one, it begins and the role of the other ends. This is the beauty of God. And this is what God wants from us, to where we become so full of him, to where this is why when John said, I must decrease and he must increase, John was saying, I want more of God. I want so full of God to where people, when people look at me, they see him. And this is what God, this is why we come back to understanding unity and understanding the community. Because in the community of God, the Father, Son, and Spirit, you don't see, you see maybe individual parts and individual roles, but you don't see the individuality of that person. Think about this. When husband and wife get married, what do we call that? The two shall become one. That the man and the wife come together and they function as one. They flow as one, even though they have two different personalities. They have, you know, two distinct, you know, bodies and two distinct, you know, images and stuff. They still function as one. And in a good marriage, you see that seamless transition between husband and wife. They're so connected. The other knows what the other one's thinking. The other can finish one another's sentences. The other one helps one another. The other, you know, understands just by looking, and you understand. The two are becoming one. That's that interdependence that is coming about. And this is what God is wanting. Not just for us. The more we understand the Trinity and understand what the Trinity is about, the more we're going to understand how we play a part in that. That just as seamless as they are with Father, Son, and Spirit, the seamlessness that it is with us and God. That when you see me, you see the Father. Because the Father and I are one. That I don't want attention drawn to Chuck. I want attention drawn to God. Because he reminds me in his word that if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. And that he will save them. He will deliver them. He will set them free. He will heal them. And he will do miracles. Because I can't, but he can. That's why we need that interdependence with him and that unity with him, that we get so close to God that God is glorified in all that we say and all that we do. It's not about me. It's about him. Oh, I'm running out of time. I got so much more I want to get to, but I just want to kind of jump a couple things. I got so much more I wanted to add, but here's the thing. There is an old skip. One more. There you go. Real quick. Jesus taught the greatest example of all, laying down his life for the sake of all humanity. We've got to remember that God is pouring into us so that we can pour into others. Keep that in mind. We must allow God to pour into us and be mindful enough to know that we're called to pour into others. Now, there's an old song we sang. I sang growing up, and I'm sure you sang it too. And when we sang this song, it really sparked something. I remember the words. It says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Anybody remember that? I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus. As we travel this earth, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You know, when we sang that, I remember even as a kid when our church would sing that, it just brought a sense of unity. You began to realize you weren't in this thing alone, but you're in it together. You have a family of God that is bigger and more powerful than anything outside the walls of the church. That no matter what I face, no matter what I go through this week, I know I've got a church family that is praying for me. I know I got a family of God that is bigger and knows how to get a hold of the Father. If they can't help me, then my God can. My Father can. The Spirit will go with me. He told me he will never leave me. He told me he would never forsake me. And this reminds us who we are, that I'm a part of the great big family of God. We got brothers and sisters all over the country and all over the world that we worship the same God. We serve the same God. We're all part of the family of God. And that unity meant something. I believe it needs to mean something again for us. We've been brainwashed by the world. Look out for you. You, me, myself, and I. That's all I got to look out for. That's not what the Bible says. My Bible says that I'm to lay down my life for him. To count my gains as losses to the glory of God. We need to be reminded again that important fact, to be more content with being unified and then worrying about who's doing what. I'd be more concerned about being part of the family of God than I am about anything else. Because as I seek God and I seek His kingdom, you know, that's what Matthew 6 tells us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. What's all these other things mean? What I wear, what I drink, what I eat, how I live. If I concern myself first with God and His kingdom, He'll take care of the rest. Then I'm reminded what the psalmist says. I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or its seed begging bread. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God will always take care of you as long as you put Him first. And I'm not talking just about lip service. I'm talking about in action, in unity, in the community of God. That's important. If we don't have community, shame on us. If we're not looking out for one another, God help us. Because I'm not being faithful with what God has given me. I don't know about you, I'm waiting. When all this is said and done, when all this is over, I'm waiting to hear these words from God. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Church, are you looking to hear that? Well done, good and faithful. See, the Trinity speaks of unity. Worship team, would you come get ready? The worship team speaks of unity. One with God, one with our church, one with our families, and one with ourselves. We need one another. Can you say amen? I need you. You need me. You need one another. That was weak. Let's try that again. I know you were all putting your Bibles up, getting ready, thinking we're going to eat, right? You need one another.
Amen.
This side, look over there. You need them. You need them more than you think you need them. Let's go over this side. This side, you look over there. You need them more than you think you need them. Because when your hands hang down, who's going to help lift them up? If you fall down, who's going to pick you up? That's why we need one another. To uphold one another. But also, here's the thing. When the world sees the church unified, what will happen? Go back to the book of Acts, chapter 2. They were all in one mind and one accord. We read about the people of Acts, the church, the early church, the first church. They were all unified, had all things in common. Some look at that a little differently and say, well, they sold all their things. You know, the Bible, I know they sold, but they had all things in common. Some people, you know, they just had like a community thing. And some things they did, but it didn't mean that, you know, it didn't mean that they sold their businesses and sold what their livelihood. I mean, but they were not stingy with what they have. You know, everybody had the same amount. No. No, I don't read that. I don't see that in that part, that scripture. They helped one another, yes. They came to the aid of one another. They had the mentality. We were looking in Acts 2. Peter said, such as I have, give I unto thee. I ain't got no money, but I sure can pray for you. There's times that's all we got. I ain't got no money, but I can pray for you. Well, such as I have. That's unified. Church, we need one another. Now, some of you may know every person in here. Some of you may not. And you know what? If we don't know everybody, you may know their name, but do you know them? You know anything else about them other than their name? That's important. I'm not saying we got to be best buddies. God ain't calling us to be BFFs, you know, and be best friends and all that. But I'm to know one another so I can pray for one another and lift you up. Wouldn't it be nice to talk about more than just, hey, how are you doing? And how's the, what do you think about this weather? See, the more we know one another, let's face it, you pray for the needs that are closer, are closest, most closest to you. Tammy's sister, she's been asking ever since I've been here to pray for her sister. And I'm just using this as an example. How many of you really, outside of Sundays and Sunday nights or whatever, anytime she says it, how many of you really pray for her sister outside of the here? To be honest, probably very little, because you really don't know her. But I know something, that the more I've been around this couple and love this couple, the more I do find myself, the more I have been praying for her sister and thinking about her and her sister. Because when I think of Tammy, I think of her sister, because she loves her sister so much and she feels the pain that she's going through, that she's praying and she's believing God. And I want to join my faith with her, and I want to pray to see her sister healed. And not just physically healed, but spiritually. Because let's be honest, beyond the physical healing, we got to pray for the spiritual. Some may call this twisted, but I call this reality. I'd rather somebody go into eternity broken and saved than healed and not.
Amen.
Think about it. Now put yourself in her shoes and the prayers that you've been asking for. See, the more we get unified, the more we get in community, the more we're going to lift up one another beyond Sunday. And church, when we begin to bombard heaven, not just on Sunday, but the rest of the week with these needs, the more I believe God's going to begin to move. I think sometimes he holds back to see how serious we are. How serious are you? You've heard me say this, and I'm wrapping up. I'm getting ready to put the wheels are down. We're getting ready to land this thing. But I want to say this. We talk about how much we love God and how much we want the church to grow and how much, you know, but I go back to this, what I've been saying. Why do we really come to church? To say we did a good deed for the week and check it off? If that's the reason you come, you're going to be sorely disappointed. When you find yourself hearing the words of God, I'm sorry, I don't know you. Pastor, that's cruel. That's mean. That's truth. I'm not here to be, you know, your favorite preacher or your favorite. No, I'm here to get you to heaven. Amen. I'm here to challenge you. Amen. I'm here to grow you. Amen. To be a cheerleader to you.
Amen.
Because let's face it, the devil is not playing a game. I got a good friend of mine lying in a hospital bed with a hopeless situation. I believe God that he's going to touch him. Because if I didn't believe God would touch him, then let's just pack up and go home.
Yes.
Let's go do something else. This morning would be a good day to go play golf. But I believe in this time together. I believe when the saints of God come together and get unified and get one mind and one accord, God begins to move and God begins to pour out his spirit and God begins to dump on his church and open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that we cannot contain it. I am looking for that time where say, God, here it is. Here am I, Lord God. Pour it out. Here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up. Let it overflow. I want an outpouring of your spirit like I've never had before.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, amen.
This isn't a game. It's life and death.
Yes.
We need to get serious with God and quit playing.
Yes, amen.
You heard me say during the flood relief the last couple weeks, we were being the church. Because the community was seeing a church not just worried about themselves, but worried about them.
Amen.
We stopped our normal routine to help them.
Yes, yes.
And I believe God is going to bless that.
Amen.
Not just monetarily. But I believe God's going to bless it. When people kind of, the dust settles. Because a lot of those buckets we gave out had a little sticker on it that said blessings from the Ravenna Church of God. And they're going to think, I'm going to go check that church out. They gave this to me and bless me. I want to go see. Through our unity, through our community, we are reflecting the Trinity. Stand with me. Father, I come to you right now. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you, God, for your presence and your that is in this place. Lord, I have poured out, Lord God, and I pray that I've been faithful with what you have poured into me. I pray, Lord God, right now, we would understand this concept. I know it's a little difficult. It may be hard to chew on a little bit, but God, you will bring clarity. You will bring understanding through this. Now, Lord, I pray right now, Lord God, that you would speak to us and let us step out in faith upon the word today. To be more intentional to build the unity and community of our church. To show our community, show our world, our neighborhoods, that our church is unified. That we are here together with different walks of life, but we serve the same God. And we believe this word. Lord, I pray we are faithful. Lord, now I ask you, have your way in this portion, this next portion. Stir us, oh God. Let us be attentive to you right now. To stand in faith, believe in you for all things. Hallelujah. I want to ask everyone, as you're still praying, everyone head bowed. If you, I want you to listen very carefully. If you have a need from God today, don't matter what it is, God can meet every need. If you've got a need, I want you to come and stand this morning. And I'm going to do something a little different this morning, but I want you to come real quickly. Just stand. If you need a touch, you say, God, I need just, don't matter what it is, you need a touch of God. Or you're standing in for someone, that's fine. Come right now and stand. everyone else.